I commit each year because of the kids. But what happens when those kids leave? Which is always the question I ask myself. Welcome back to Teacher Tales, where we give you the keys to overcoming teacher burnout to find the work-life balance and educational bliss, if it still exists. On this interview episode, me and Ardwan unpack the challenges and triumphs of teaching, especially in year one. We also talk about finding your confidence as a teacher and how our true passions align with education in the classroom. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We've been kind of planning this for a little while. Mm-hmm. But finally, I have the illustrious Ardwan on the show. So I guess we have to start in the beginning.
Okay.
Give us the breadcrumbs of you going, I think I'm going to be a high school teacher.
So I've always loved being a student. And I think still to this day, if I could make a career out of just going to school and learning, I would.
Wow.
I really do enjoy just learning new things. And I'm a writer by nature, so I just love words. And
Wait, what do you like to write?
Just like personal narratives, and I do a little bit of screenwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my concentrations is in film studies, and so part of the journey to becoming a teacher is I went to school for multidisciplinary studies because I wanted to pursue film. And there were all of these hiccups in my college journey. And so I landed on a multidisciplinary studies. And then the other concentration was interdisciplinary studies, which is education for the most part. And so my thinking was I'd be a teacher for a year or two while I finished my script.
Put that script together.
Mm-hmm. And the script got finished, yet I continued teaching. And so this is kind of where I don't want to say landed. I choose to return each year. But this is how I got here. I had a different plan.
So you write scripts.
I do.
I don't even want to talk about teaching anymore. I just want to talk about writing.
We can.
I just want to talk about movies.
We can. I love my film studies. It was fun. And like I said, that was always my ultimate goal. I wanted to go off to Howard and study theater. And again, there were just all these hiccups in my road to college. And so film studies was as close as I can get. And I did that at UTSA. And again, teaching was my backup. It was my plan B.
Yeah, a lot of people are like, yep, didn't know I would be a teacher.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go into teaching theater since you had all this kind of background? And I guess your background was actually just in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so my main concentration is actually in sociology.
Mm-hmm.
And my teaching certification is in English. So I'm kind of all over the place. I mean, sociology and English have their commonalities, but I didn't do theater just because I didn't want to focus so much on the performance aspect of film.
Okay.
I love to write. So my thinking was always that I would produce screenplays, I would write them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the performance piece, I did theater in high school, but that just wasn't a priority for me. I wanted to be behind the camera and not in front of it. And I always flirt with the idea of being a theater teacher, right? But I love English, and then obviously I'm an AVID teacher right now, and I love AVID. So I'm content right now, but I always consider, like, if writing doesn't pan out, right, and education is my forever career, what does that look like in terms for me being able to use teaching as an outlet for my creativity? And obviously theater is kind of a go-to, so it's something I consider.
How long have you been a teacher?
This is my fifth year teaching. So I'm a COVID teacher. That was my very first year. COVID. And so,
that's
right.
Mm-hmm. So you've only been here?
I've only been at Elkins.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
First teaching assignment. I've only ever taught AVID. So I've never taught any other content area.
Have you looked at it like, maybe I would want a change to, because you like to write so much, maybe getting into, and your certifications in English. Have you ever thought about moving over?
No.
I do not blame you. English is hard.
Absolutely. And yeah, no, I agree. I hold.
Okay. Hats off to the English teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I could do that. What I love about Avid is it's structured, but it also allows for some freedom, me being creative with the curriculum. I get to kind of put my own creative spin on a lot of the instruction we deliver in the class. And I'm always just concerned about switching into other content areas and losing that freedom and losing that ability to be creative with my content. So I think, it's just a little too rigid for me being in English. Obviously love it, but I get to teach English fundamentals.
How you want to teach English.
Exactly, in Avid, so.
So what's something that you enjoy the most about teaching Avid, like a specific lesson or unit?
I mean, I think the whole program, just as it relates to preparing them, not only for college, but just for life after high school. I love the idea of Avid. But I think for me, just the most enjoyable aspect is being able to engage with my students in a way many other teachers don't. I get to like form relationships with them, which is extremely important when we start talking about like investing in an academic and a professional future. When we start having really difficult conversations about like finances and what you want your future to look like. And there's just a lot of personal things, a lot of personal hiccups that we have to get over for a lot of these students to actually see a future. And so me being able to engage with them and to build a rapport that is a little bit different than what they would receive in a traditional core curriculum course, I think that's what I appreciate most about Avid. So,
do you feel like when they come to your class, I guess the backdrop is a lot of times when they go to classes, it's about the grade. It's, okay, how can I do the least amount of work as possible to get the highest grade possible?
Absolutely.
So do you feel like there's a mindset shift when they come to Avid? Okay, you shaking your head, yes.
Absolutely. The reason I say that, and I can't speak for Avid, but I can speak for my classroom, and I pray that I don't get any trouble in this, but I straight up tell the kids all the time, I could care less about your grades, because that's a fact. You getting an A does not ensure that when you leave 7007 Knights Court that you're going to be successful. And I think we're doing children a disservice by telling them that their academic and professional success is dependent on what you make in biology, because that's just simply not true. So I don't push grades at all in the program. What I care is that, one, that you are getting the skills necessary. Like, if I'm giving you this assignment, there's obviously something fundamental that you need to learn, and that's my focus first. And then secondly, I care about who you're going to be when you leave here.
And so
grades just aren't a priority for me. And sorry, I just don't feel like it's a good indicator of like students' progress and their ability. Obviously, it speaks to their progress, but I've seen some of the smartest, pass in class, and then they don't have the life skills to be successful when they leave here.
Right.
And I just think that's more important than them turning in a homework assignment on time.
There's a lot. I feel like because academics is pushed as the only. Now, obviously, there are a ton of things that you need to know. There's a lot of stuff in science and English and math. All of these things are important. But, and I think we're right along the same lines, that's not the only thing. There are so many other skills, life skills, and experiences that you need in order to become the successful person that we all hope to become in whatever field we choose. So when things are just pushed, grades, college this, college that, and that's just not the reality of tons of successful people. Have either not went to college or dropped out of college because the grades are not the end all be all. You know, so I wish that there was a way, because the thing about grades is you can measure. A, B, C, D, you know, 100 to zero, we know exactly. The other stuff is more qualitative, because I don't know if this person, if building that relationship,
I cannot grade that.
Right.
You know, so when you go to Capitol Hill mm-hmm. and we want to get money, and it's like, okay, well, what can I sink my hands into? You know, what can I put my arms around and say, this, and this is why we should get what we need or what we want.
Right.
And so I think that's the biggest problem in education, because if we started to look beyond the numbers and mm-hmm. the grades, then we could see that there are other ways that we can assess students.
Absolutely.
And other ways that we can help students aside from you need to go to tutoring because you're not passing chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, so, wow.
Well, that only works when we start having honest conversation about what's important in education. And I think we just value the wrong things. Of course, it makes sense that we're going to be grade focused when we're looking to, show the district that we have whatever percentile of, you know, passing students mm-hmm. instead of ensuring that students are actually mastering material. Again, right. some of these things are simply a byproduct of good practice.
Yes.
And if we're simply being good instructors, right, we have great administrative teams that support our teachers showing up, doing the job with fidelity, and then parents doing what they need to at home to hold their students accountable. All of that other stuff
grades
will come.
Line up.
Absolutely.
You know, people will be able to get into college mm-hmm. and have the scores that they want, the behaviors.
Absolutely. But I think that's what happens when you focus way too much on the results and not the processes for the results. And
that's so good.
I think that's just the trap we found ourselves in.
So speaking of the process,
mm-hmm.
The process right now is driving a lot of teachers away
mm-hmm.
from wanting to be in education. You know, I'm in these Facebook groups because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just part of what I do to just be out there and see,
yeah.
you know, what experiences are happening for people in a lot of times different areas of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And people are leaving education left and right.
Mm-hmm.
So you've only been teaching 5 years, both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you say your experience has been with maybe questioning your decision
mm-hmm, okay.
to be an educator?
I think that question is just a little tricky for me just because that wasn't my initial plan, right?
Right.
And I think for me, that question always kind of lingers in the back of my head, right? Each
I'm
year.
I'm not even supposed to be here.
Exactly. So I think it's a bit of a cop-out for me. Anytime there's a challenge, I'm like, well, I don't want to be here to begin with, right? However, I enjoy teaching and I love mm-hmm. teaching and I love my kids, right? They're the only reason I return. And I tell my students that every day, there's millions of ways to make money, right? I choose to make money here because I'm invested in y'all and y'all's future. To people who are, I think the original question was for people chunk and deuce, right?
Yeah.
I think rightfully so, to be completely honest. In terms of the questions that I ask myself, my first year teaching, I realized that we're not actually here to teach. And I think that was the biggest hurdle for me. We come here and we have a certain expectation as to what the job description entails,
mm-hmm.
right? I think what people realize when they become teachers is that you have to do that plus a lot more.
Duties as assigned.
As assigned. And I feel like each year those duties as assigned get longer.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no pre-professional program that can prepare you for what is required to do this job well and to do it with longevity, right? If the name of the game is retiring 30 years, 35 years,
mm-hmm.
I think we heard those stories from professionals who were teachers in the 80s and 90s, right?
Yes.
When the focus was educating students, sending them home, and then
the parents.
There was a community.
I
wasn't going to say the P word, but there was a community outside
community.
Of the school that also assisted on their end. And mm-hmm. I just think there's been this huge disconnect. So it only makes sense that people are leaving, right? Because now we're being required to do things that initially teachers would have never.
Whoa, time out. What is this?
Absolutely.
That's somebody else's job.
Teacher, counselor, right? On a weekly basis, I'm talking a kid off the ledge. And we weren't prepared for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for anyone who had a half foot in and a half foot out to begin with, right? Or 1 foot in, 1 foot out. They're just going to be like, it's not worth it. And they're going to leave. Absolutely. I think it takes a certain person to recognize that we didn't read all the fine print. and
the stuff that we got to do was not in the fine print,
or it wasn't there at all. Absolutely. And you're willing year after year to commit to that, to the unknown, right? And I think some people just aren't willing to commit to the unknown, and I 100% understand, right? I just think it takes a certain person, not a better person, but a certain kind of person to say, I'm gonna show up what 186 days each year, and I don't know what it'll bring, but I'm willing to be here. So I think that's just what it is.
What's your favorite part about being an educator?
The kids.
Yeah, that's an easy question. I think the answer is the same. You know what? I'm going to have to say that I would broaden that just because you know me and what I do around here.
Yeah.
For me, I would not say the kids. I would say the people.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of adults, teachers, our bookkeeper, counselors, principals. There's so many great people on campus.
Oh, absolutely.
And I enjoy I enjoy equally being around those people as I do when I'm in the classroom.
Okay.
You know, so when I'm out there charging you up because you haven't came and work out,
you could have left that out.
But I'm not going to. That's going
could
in.
Could have, but.
That's a part of why I love to come here.
Yeah.
You know, my workout partner, you know, the people I'm with in the comments, you know, shout out to Dominique. She's all over these podcasts. I enjoy those people too.
Yeah.
So, and I think a lot of times those are the people that get left behind, the actual adults, because everybody's so focused on the kids.
Absolutely.
And part of my, I guess, my mission or my purpose in education is to try to do my part to make sure that the adults are not left behind.
That's amazing. Kudos to you for using your podcast to do that, because I'm going to be completely honest. The reason I can't necessarily say the professional community is because I've always, well, not let me not say always, for most of my educational career, I worked alone. And so I wasn't always part of a department, right? Right now I am not part of a department, right? I don't go to any meetings with other educators. And so I think for me, that just hasn't necessarily been my truth. But again, kudos to you for using this podcast to do that, because one, I think it's important. I don't know who's listening, right? If higher ups, you've got like
shout
the ear
out to the people out there.
Yeah, you got the ear of the powerful, right? Because I think it's important, especially as a first year teacher, making sure that they're coming in and they have that support, right? So that they can feel part of the campus. And I think maybe for me, that was one of the biggest challenges. So when I say that I commit each year, I do commit because of the kids. But what happens when those students leave, which is always the question I ask myself, and I am graduating my first set of freshmen. And so now I'm sitting here asking,
is it my time to go?
Is it time, right? But when you can say, as much as I love the kids, I also love my coworkers and the people that I, you know, engage with every single day. I think that's how you can keep people in the profession. But yeah, kind of being on an island makes that challenging.
More difficult.
Mm-hmm.
If I, now you see where my classroom is.
Yeah, you in the boondocks like me. You outside.
I could literally be on an island and not see maybe one teacher, the person next door. But I think it's important. I know a lot of teachers, they stay in their classroom. Rightfully so, they got tons of work to do. But the more community you can create, I just feel like the better off that we all would be.
Absolutely.
Because now you're not struggling by yourself.
Yeah.
Now you have other people that are resources to you and you to them. I was talking to a teacher that teaches stuff about animals, okay? And so we were talking about like equine science, and I'm like, how do we make this relatable to our kids? Because that's probably something that is difficult, especially, you know, I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I didn't see a single horse when I lived in Detroit. Now, when I came down here in Houston, you do have horses running around Third Ward and Sunnyside and everywhere else.
Parked at the gas station.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But how do you now bring that stuff to life
and
kind of connect the dots in some other way? So I was able to help her do that. And it's not because I taught what she taught, but it's because I was willing to make the connection. And now, because we have that connection, I'm there to help. So the more we can have those connections with people, the better off the better off we'd be. And I feel like the stronger our schools would be. Because I could say, y'all better not go over there and do that in so-and-so class.
Oh, absolutely.
Because now I'm coming for you, because I know that person.
Yeah.
When you don't know them, it's just the name. It's kind of like, that's their class. You know, they got to figure that part out.
That's a really good point. I think that is, like you said, important, especially in terms of having a campus standard, right?
Yes.
That is for all students. I know she's not here anymore, but I loved her little saying, all means all, Principal Ward last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I agree with you. I think community amongst educators definitely pushes a standard for all students across the board. So, yeah, that's cool.
So, speaking of standards,
mm-hmm.
one of the standards for this show in English, which you are very familiar with, is the 5 W's.
Okay.
So I did not show you these questions because I want you to be pleasantly surprised.
I knew it was an ambush. Okay.
Okay. So we go through the 5 W's, who, what, when, where, why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you choose which order you want to do them.
I mean, I got to answer all of them
yes,
eventually.
Yes, you do.
Let's start with when.
Ooh. This is one of my favorite questions.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
When did you begin to feel confident in yourself as a teacher?
When?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's tricky.
Okay. Why?
Because anytime I feel like I know what I'm doing, a circumstance comes and I realize I know nothing, right?
Not nothing.
For me, education is about making gains. Like, and it's a little bit each year. Maybe my third year. Remember, first year, that whole second semester, we were online, and then we were trying to figure out online. That whole second year was COVID, and there were some students there. I think it was that third year, which probably was one of my more difficult years, just because for the first time I was teaching kind of how school looked like before COVID,
they were
but not
here,
really.
But it wasn't like...
Exactly. I think mastering my third year, I was like, okay, I can do this. I think, yeah.
Third year. Okay.
After COVID, but not really. Mm-hmm.
We're not... You know what? Next W.
Mm-hmm. Let's do the what.
Wow. What's your, we kind of answer both of these questions.
Okay.
So one is, what's your favorite lesson to teach? And then the other one is, what's your escape plan?
Escape plan. Again, I think I mentioned favorite thing to teach. So if I'm to be specific, like a lesson, we do in the freshman class, we analyze Lawrence Dunbar's We Wear the Mask poem.
Okay.
It is my absolute favorite freshman activity. Just one because, again, just being an English buff, they're required to analyze text. I love poetry. So that's the first part. But then secondly, I just think it's a really timely piece. It makes them question this duality that we all live, right? That which we show the world versus that which we really are. And I think that's timely for freshmen. Like, they're really trying to figure out who they are. They've transitioned from middle school to high school. Everything's different. And we do it at the beginning of the spring semester. So it really just requires them to, like, reflect on that very difficult fall semester for many freshmen. And then to really be intentional moving forward as to, like, what they want the rest of their high school journey to look like. And so that is my favorite freshman activity. Of course, each level there's something, but I think that's the one that kind of stands out for me. And then an escape plan? I don't have an escape plan. Look, I'm going to rock with teaching until the wheels fall off. I'll do my best. But if
Hollywood come calling.
Negative, nah. Hollywood, no. I always wanted to do like independent projects. I don't trust Hollywood.
There's
like
a lot
that.
Of stuff out there by
yeah,
Hollywood.
There's a lot going on. And me and Jesus is like this, so I'm cool on all the other stuff. But no, escape plan, I don't have an escape plan. I think the minute that the kids stop being enough is when I know that it's time for me to move on. And I'm not necessarily there yet, so I'm here. So I don't have an escape plan as of now.
Okay, that's a good answer. Next W. We did what, and we did when.
Mm-hmm.
So you got who, where, why.
Let's do the, we'll save why for last, just because I feel like it's going to be this like grandeur response. But let's do who.
Did you say whom?
Who? Oh. No, I'm not that fancy. To whom and which? No, who?
Who in education has helped you the most? It could be, this could be a specific person at a specific time. It doesn't have to be the same person that's been there all 5 years or so. It could be just somebody that you would want to shout out.
I think this is going to require some bodies. And here's why. I would not have survived my first year as a teacher. Look at me. My first year as a teacher without Carter McClain and Baptiste. They carried me. And that is a fact. And I tell them, if I have not told them this recently, y'all carried me.
If y'all are listening.
There was no way that I was going to be able to master through that first year without them. And I had Martin. She was my freshman. My first year, she was my mentor teacher.
Yep. Mine too.
And there was just all these procedures that I didn't understand. And it was also my first year coordinating. So she helped me with like paperwork and I was doing two jobs that neither in which I knew what I was doing. So they helped me be a teacher and then she helped me be a coordinator. And so again, kind of without those three, I would have quit my first week. That's a fact.
First week.
Oh, absolutely. The kids hated me when I first got here. They absolutely hated me. And the drops from Avid were ridiculous. I mean, I think probably the counselors ran out of schedule request forms. And one of the administrators my first year literally came to me and says, if you still want to have a job here, you better stop signing these papers. Because it was that many students leaving.
That's real. That's a real conversation.
Right, absolutely. There. Stopped me in the hallway. And I'm just smiling. And she was like, if you keep signing these, you will not have a job. You need to stop. And so... yeah, it was that serious.
Dang.
So my first year was brutal. So yeah, without those three, it would have been trouble.
Okay, since you said we're gonna do why last, now we have where.
Yes, sir.
This is a good question. Where did you see yourself 5 years ago?
Gee.
Are you there? Or did it change along the way?
Yeah. 5 years ago. Well, 5 years ago, I was teaching for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, the year before, I was an aide at an elementary school in a special needs classroom. Special needs classroom. And that was fun. I enjoyed it only because 2 years before that, I was a behavioral therapist at an ABA clinic.
The hard jobs.
So I actually started more in special education and then moved on to general ed. So I enjoyed both of those. It was fun for me. Where I thought I was going to be 5 years from now, or 5 years ago, I thought I'd teach for a year or two and then transition and move on. And did that happen? No, because I'm sitting here with you talking about my teaching experience. And then did you ask where I see myself?
I just said, did it change along the way?
Did it change?
Clearly.
Here's the thing. I don't know if it changed. I think my expectations have changed. I knew that I would teach. I just didn't know I would teach this long, right? I knew that I wanted to use this time to write, which I have. But over the years, my focus has been more on surviving education than writing. And I think...
time to get back to writing.
I've just made some personal sacrifices,
mm-hmm.
Which was part of the plan, but not to this extent. And so I don't know if the plan's changed. It just doesn't look like, it just doesn't look the way I thought it would. I don't regret teaching ever. And I think it is important. I think I needed to see what Hollywood would look like, right? And I think I needed to see the fall of the film industry because I was willing to invest everything into that. I mean, I was telling my mother, she was like, you can't go into film. You can't be an actress. I can't have my child living under the bridge. And this is me in college. Like, I'll live under the bridge for the dream. And
listen,
she's like, absolutely not.
Hey, sometimes that's what it takes. for some people.
Yeah, absolutely. And respect to those who chose that path. That's cool. But had I done that, I would have been miserable. Just seeing the state of film and just that entire industry, I wouldn't have been happy.
It's taken a massive swing.
Absolutely.
You know, I am... We'll save that for later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last W.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you... Nope. I'm not going to let you choose Jack. We're going to go with this one.
Okay.
Why do people quit teaching? Why do people quit education?
Because they can't find themselves in education anymore. I think when you show up to this job, you have to have something that's still you.
Mm.
And I think in order to do this job well, you have to sacrifice a lot. And anyone who says differently is just wrong. I mean, you were a coach, right? Think about all the nights that you spent at games and traveling and driving buses. Our band directors, right? How much time they invest. I mean, our CTE and all of their competitions. Just this job takes a lot. And I think when you are in a place where you just don't understand why. Like, why do I show up here every day, right? It's time to go. And I think that's the safest thing for everybody.
Yeah.
I think it's the best thing for the educator, but it's also, I mean, it sucks. It's hard to see, you know, classes ran by subs, but the students deserve someone who's going to be invested in them. And it's just good to, I don't know. I think that's the biggest thing. You have to have something to hold on to while you're teaching. And I think people just lose grasp of that and of themselves. And so it's time to move on.
So my teacher out there listening, don't lose yourself.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You got to have something to hold on to. And if you don't, then you probably need to evaluate what your next movie is.
Absolutely.
Last thing before we leave, what advice would you give to a new teacher? And what advice would you give to an experienced teacher? Talk to both. They're both listening.
An experienced teacher, I'd say, never forget why you fell in love with the profession to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's difficult, especially with just the state of education now. But if you're a vet, that means that, again, you've chosen to return each year, right? And so there's something keeping you here. You're hooked somewhere. And I think in the fog of doing this job, people, again, just lose sight on that. And so for a veteran teacher, just don't lose sight of what it is that hooked you to begin with, because it's kept you this far. In terms of a newbie teacher, find community. I think before you focus on being a good teacher, before you focus on investing in the kids, you're going to need some support. In the same way that we say our students need to be rallied by a tribe, the same thing with our educators. You cannot do this job by yourself. And anyone looking to do this job by yourself, you're not going to last very long. And that is a fact. Again, without Baptiste and Carter McClain and Martin my first year, I would, it is a fact. I don't have to question. I would have quit. Chick-fil-A is always hiring. So it would have been an easy transition for me. Find community first. And just remember, this job is hard. Like, if you're thinking, oh, I get summers off, sure. But what you're doing August through May, it takes a lot. And so don't by any means underestimate how much you're going to have to invest in this job day in and day out. So, that's that. That's all I got.
That was great. I hope you all enjoyed that conversation between me and Ardwan. That is one of the brightest people that I've had on. And I always enjoy having conversations with her because I feel like she challenges me to like start thinking about stuff that I may not be thinking about otherwise. So I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Before we get out of here, remember, sometimes we just need to deal with what's in front of us. Commit. Finish your term, finish your semester, your school year, and then take it from there. Take your time to evaluate what's next. Don't hold yourself over a barrel. Come back for the right reasons. Sometimes that means it's time to move on.
Lastly, thank the people who got you through. Lord knows we can't do this alone. A simple text, phone call, or email would do just fine. As always, thank you for listening. Keep teaching, keep learning, and I will see you all on the next journey.